Dr. Jerry, you got the whole world waiting. Been ready for you to start the conversation. Your point of view, it got the haters confused. Leave it up to you to bring us all the good news. Positive vibes and the sex appeal too. Dr. Andre Jerry, can I get an interview?
Hello, everybody. Good evening, and welcome to Live with Dr. Andre Jerry, your trusted source for real conversations, practical wisdom, and purpose-driven insight. This show is broadcast in over 128 countries worldwide. So whether you're listening from the mainland, from the islands, or somewhere overseas, I'm glad that you tuned in tonight. On behalf of myself and the Artist First Radio Network, thank you so much for your listenership. So tonight, we are broadcasting live from beautiful San Juan, Puerto Rico, a city that recently made history as the site of Bad Bunny's record-breaking residency here at the Coliseum, known by locals as El Choli. From July 11th all the way to September 20th, he performed 31 sold-out shows, drawing over 600,000 fans and generating hundreds of millions of dollars in economic impact for the island. So it's safe to say that this wasn't just entertainment. This was sort of a cultural reset that reminded the world just how powerful Puerto Rico's global influence really is. On top of that, and I'm sure you've heard this, he's slated to headline the Apple Music Super Bowl halftime show in February. So really proud of him. Everyone on the island is rooting for him. Shout out to Bad Bunny, our local hero here, and our local artist activist. This is definitely your moment. And your influence is making an impact globally. And tonight, we're creating a moment of our own, because here's what I know for sure. Somebody listening to this show tonight, whether they catch it live or catch the replay on podcast, they're going to hear something tonight that sparks something in them. It's going to spark them towards a trajectory that unlocks their best life this upcoming new year. I really do believe that. I know that a lot of what we talk about on this show is, you know, in the realm of personal development, and a lot of stuff that we're going to talk about is pulled straight from my latest book, which is called Unlocking Your Best Life, which is available right now on Amazon, both in paperback and Kindle format. And there's also a direct link to the book on our show's webpage at artistfirst.com. But let me give you a heads up about something, because if you've been meaning to grab a copy of this book, any of my books, now is the time. Because we're in the process right now of pulling all of my books from Amazon before the end of the year. We're going to update them all, repackage them, and move them over exclusively to my own platform for direct-to-consumer access. So, you know, I'm very grateful for, you know, everything Amazon KDP has done in helping, you know, us to share these messages with the world. But everything has a season. Everything has a season, and you got to have the discernment to know when it's time to pivot and elevate and move on. So Amazon, I appreciate you, and I wish you all the best moving forward. All right, so let's go ahead and get into this show. How do you guys feel about 2025? Are you guys ready for 2025 to sort of get the hell on, or has this been a pretty good year for you? I've heard a mix from both people. For some, this year has been great. For others, it's been sort of challenging. I know people who have experienced big losses this year. I have some cousins who lost their father last month, actually on my birthday, which tragically is also my cousin's birthday. So my heart really goes out to them all, especially Adrian. I know what it feels like to lose a parent. It's hard. There's no way around it. I can only imagine how compounded the pain is losing your parent on your birthday. You know, so Adrian, Angel, Adria, all of you guys are in my thoughts, and I'm sending you love, okay? Because I know you're probably going through it right now. And to that point, you know, if this has been a difficult year for you, just know that eventually things are going to turn around. All storms in life eventually pass. And you're not alone. 2025 has been like a roller coaster for a lot of people. A lot of us are carrying heavy burdens and tormented by mistakes we've made in the past and missteps. But tonight's episode, I don't want to focus on that. I want to focus on what's going right, what's possible in the future. So we're going to focus on what comes next. We're going to be talking strategy, mindset, and momentum. And we're going to explore how to unlock your best year yet in this upcoming year, 2026. Because breakthroughs and success, they're not just going to happen by themselves. You have to plan for it. And I'm going to help you with that tonight. All right. So like I was saying before, a lot of the content in this show is geared towards self-improvement and personal development and shifting our mindset, right? And typically around this time of year, what I like to do is dedicate a show specifically to discussing strategy and practical steps that you can take to sort of get a head start on this new year and get your head in the game so that when January 1st comes around, you can hit the ground running. So we're going to talk about how to set realistic goals, attainable goals for this upcoming year. We're going to talk about creating actionable steps toward achieving those goals. And we're also going to talk about, and this is the most critical part, we're going to talk about developing a mindset that will allow you to believe in and achieve your goals. Because the truth is, you can have a strategy all day long, but if you don't believe in yourself and you don't believe in your own abilities to accomplish your goals, then all you're doing is just wishful thinking, right? So whether you're rebuilding from a really rough year, or you're just refocusing your energy, or you're just really just ready to do the thing that you've finally been putting off forever, it doesn't matter. I have practical tools and real talk that's going to help you shift gears and get to that next level. So grab something to take some notes with, and, you know, really pay attention, because together we're going to figure this thing out for 2026. I want this to be your best year yet. All right? All right, so some of you already know what you want to accomplish next year. And if that's the case for you, excellent, because that means that you're very clear about your goals, and you can go ahead and start developing a strategy to get there. But there are a lot of people out there who don't have that in mind yet. So let's say you don't have a specific goal in mind yet. Maybe you feel like, why do I even need to set goals? Maybe you feel like it's not necessary. Because there are a lot of people who are right now, they're just in survival mode. And they may not be thinking about lofty goals and things that they, you know, want to accomplish next year. They're just trying to get by on a day-to-day basis. And, you know, I certainly understand that. But what I would say to you, if you're someone that's in that situation, I believe it's all the more critical for you to set a goal for yourself. And really, calling it a goal is not even the best terminology to use. Because at its root, a goal is just a desire or a vision. You desire or have a vision to have, be, or do something that you currently don't have. So we can just rephrase the word altogether and stop using goal and replace it with desire or vision, because really terminology matters. So I'm going to try to go the rest of this broadcast and not use the word goal. So what's your vision for 2026? What do you desire to have or to achieve? And it's okay if you don't really know the answer to that right now. It's better to take some time to really think and reflect on what you want before you start putting a lot of energy into something that, you know, at the end of the day, it doesn't fulfill you. It's not going to, you know, bring you any real sustainable joy, or it's misaligned with your purpose and your identity. You know, I've done that so many times. Years and years ago, around this time of year, my ex and I, we used to get out a sheet of notebook paper and we would write down all of this stuff, you know, things we desired to accomplish and achieve within the next year. And, you know, we'd be like, you know, by this time next year, we're going to have this, or we're going to do that. And we would just fill up an entire sheet of paper, just kind of writing out things that we wanted to accomplish. And then we'd share them with each other and share what we wrote. And in retrospect, a lot of that stuff was very ambitious and lofty. I think one year, one of the desires I wrote down was to retire at age 50 and move to Puerto Rico, which I actually did accomplish at age 46. So it's amazing the power of words and how writing out your desires can manifest, you know, them into your life later, years later. But yeah, some of the things we wrote down were desires that we had as a couple, and then others were individual desires. But either way it went, writing down those goals made it real for us, and it made it attainable. And we were always very pragmatic. We knew we probably wouldn't achieve everything on the list, but we knew and we believed that we'd accomplish at least two or three, maybe on a good year, even four. And, you know, it would always be exciting to take out the old list a year later and then highlight or check off all the ones we accomplished. And then sometimes we laugh about how much we veered off track. But the point I wanted to reinforce here is that the importance of having a vision in the first place is really significant. And also writing it down. You've got to write it down. Because when you have a vision, that vision is going to give you a direction. It's going to give you a roadmap. So you're not going to go into this new year just wandering aimlessly, letting life happen. You know, you set your sights on a clear destination that you can focus on. And in turn, what that's going to do is going to determine your actions. It's going to determine your habits and your behavior. So when distractions start to come along to tempt you, and they will come, distractions will come, it might be in a form of well-meaning friends. You know, they may be saying something like, hey, man, you know, there's a party tonight. Let's go here. Hey, let's go out for drinks, my treat. Let's do this. Let's do that. When you start minding your business, minding your own business, and focusing on yourself and starting to manifest the life that you desire, people are going to just naturally gravitate to you. You're going to notice all types of people coming out the woodwork, old friends, old flames. Everybody's going to be coming at you left and right, because everybody's going to want a piece of you and to be around you, because there's something attractive and there's something alluring about someone who's driven and focused. So you will be distracted. I always tell people, if you're lonely, just pursue something. I don't care if it's a degree, a business, if you want to lose weight, if you're trying to get back fit, if you're writing a book. Once you start focusing on something important and meaningful to you, people are just going to be attracted to you and to that energy, and they're going to bother the shit out of you, I promise. And if you're lonely and hungry, all you have to do is just announce to your friends and to your social circle that you're going on a diet, or that you're fasting, or that you're going to start some type of new health regimen. You're going to get all types of offers to go to breakfast, go to lunch, go to dinner. People are going to invite you over to their house to eat. People are going to offer to cook for you. They're going to bring you food, just all types of shit. It never fails. But the point I'm trying to make is that focus invites distraction. So you have to be very mentally prepared to resist temptation in all its various forms, because it's definitely going to come. Okay. All right. I want to share a couple of passages from the Bible with you that reinforce the importance of having a vision and writing things down. So if you're not a Bible person, just bear with me. But the first one is from the book of Habakkuk in chapter 2. And a lot of you are going to know this scripture. It says, write down the vision and inscribe it clearly on tablets, so that the one reading aloud from it may do so easily. For the vision is yet for its appointed time, and it is rushing towards its end, and it will not lie. Even if it should delay, keep in expectation of it. That's Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. It's really a divine instruction on how to bring a God-given vision to life. And some people may be asking, how do you know if your vision is God-given? Is your vision to kill somebody or to harm somebody or to manipulate someone or get over on them? No. Okay, then it's from God. If your vision involves you becoming a better person, leveling up in life, having more money, having more abundance, helping your family, helping other people, that's how you know it's a God-given vision. So it's very easy to discern. If you want to mess people up, then that's not from God. That's coming from someplace else, okay? But from this one scripture that I just read, there are four powerful actions that are essential to manifesting your purpose and your desires. And the first one is write down the vision. That was said at the very beginning of the verse. Because God could have just told Habakkuk what the vision was and just left it at that. But he clearly said to write it down. And why did he say that? He said that because writing down the vision makes it real. Because thinking about it, you're taking a vision, you're taking an abstract idea, and you're putting it on paper in tangible form. So it's no longer just a thought at that point. It's sort of like a contract. You're committed to it, you know? So don't just think about your goals for this next year. Make sure you write them down, whether it's in a journal, on a planner, on your wall. Just do whatever you can to make it visible. The next thing the scripture says, it says, inscribe it clearly or make it plain, right? Your vision, your dream should be written in a way that a stranger could read it, right? And that stranger can take that plan that you have written out and know exactly what it is you're aiming for. It should be very clear, because clarity is going to help you to stay focused and avoid all types of distractions and detours. If your vision is cloudy, then your path is going to be cloudy. You're going to stumble here and there. So you want your steps to be certain, okay? The next thing, number three from that scripture, he said, read aloud from it so that the one reading aloud from it may do so easily. That means your vision isn't just for you. It's meant to be spoken and declared and proclaimed. You see, when you speak your vision out loud, you're engaging your faith, and you're, whether you realize it or not, you're reprogramming your subconscious mind, and you're aligning your language, what you speak, with your purpose and what you want to happen. So read your vision out loud every morning. Say it like it's already happening and speak it into existence. I know you've heard this type of stuff before. You know, some of this stuff has been passed on as new modern wisdom. This stuff is old from the Bible. This is biblical knowledge. So get your Bible out. The last thing is it mentioned in that scripture. It says, keep an expectation even if it delays. That's called a faith walk. Most people, they abandon their dreams and their visions because they're not seeing anything. They get tired of waiting. But delay doesn't mean denial. Every vision, like it said in that scripture, has an appointed time. Your only job is to keep believing and keep preparing and staying in alignment with your purpose, even when it seems like nothing is happening. I always tell people who are looking for work, you know, there's so many stories out there of people, they're going on interview after interview, applying for job after job, they're not hearing nothing. And I always tell people, I try to keep them encouraged, keep knocking. Your job is to knock and keep knocking. God is going to open the door that's meant for you to walk through. So I know it gets frustrating and scary when it's gone months and even, you know, crossing a year with no hits, but just keep knocking in faith. The right door is going to open. That's for a job. That's for a man, a girl, opportunity, whatever it is you're looking for or expecting, just keep knocking and expect that the right door is going to open. And thank God in advance for opening the right door for you. And thank God also for the no's. Thank God for the no's. The last thing you want is to walk through a job or into a relationship or something that's not meant for you, and you end up going through hell. You don't want to go through that. So just keep walking in faith and know that God is going to open the right door for you. All right? There's a couple of other scriptures. I don't want to go too heavy on the scripture because I know a lot of people are just, a lot of people just not feeling God right now in the scriptures. It's just really crazy. And I've never run into so many black atheists in my life. Like, you used to have to go far and wide to find a black atheist. Now they're all over the place. I was listening to a podcast the other day with Miss Pat on there. A lot of you know Miss Pat. I actually like Miss Pat. She don't believe in God. She's kind of atheist-ish. And I was like, oh, wow. You know, so it's just really kind of jarring. I told you about my one of my good friends, Craig. He's an atheist. You know, so that took a minute to get used to. So it's just, it's just crazy. But if you can, keep your faith, keep God in the forefront of your mind. He still exists. He sees everything that's going on. All this stuff is in the Bible about all this crazy stuff that's going to happen and all of that. Just stay close to him. Stay faithful. Don't allow your faith to be deterred. Don't fall for all these new beliefs and all this. Don't fall for all this crap. And I'm veering way off course here, but I just felt like I needed to say that. Don't fall for this newfangled knowledge that you see on the internet. The Bible is still the Bible. The Word of God is still the Word of God. God is real, okay? That's just me. You know, I have seen and experienced God in my own life. You just can't tell me he's real. You can't tell me the Word of God is not real. I've never gone wrong from adhering to the Word of God and following it. Whenever I veered from it, that's when I fucked up. So enough of that. Enough of that. We're going to go back to the subject at hand here. But really, when you get your vision, you need to make sure that you protect your vision. Okay? Some of you are dealing with some things that are a lot deeper than not believing in your vision. You have people who are questioning and sowing doubt into you in terms of what you can accomplish and what you can't accomplish. You know, that's why I have learned over the years that when you have an idea or something that you want to accomplish, keep it to yourself, because not everybody is going to be happy for you. You have to be very mindful who you share things with. It's not for everybody to know. If God puts a dream in your heart, that's for you. Nurture it, water it with faith, and just keep pressing toward that goal. I know you can get excited because you want to launch your business, or you're going back to school, or you're finally starting that podcast, and you got a plan to lose weight or get back fit or write your book, whatever it is. So naturally, you're going to want to tell somebody, but like I said, not everybody is going to be happy for you. You know, some people are going to smile on your face. They'll tell you they're proud of you. They say all the right things, and a lot of them may even mean it. But more often than not, a lot of those same folks are secretly hoping that you fail. They're watching your glow up, and they're sort of envious, or they're kind of in the back of their mind wondering, who does she think she is? You know, even if it's not malicious, their doubts can still do damage, because thoughts are things. And when you give people access to your vision too soon, you risk letting their energy pollute what you're trying to build. You know, people say little slick stuff like, ain't no way she's going to lose all that weight. She's been big to her whole life. Or I don't know how he think he can start a business. He barely graduated high school. You know, little stuff like that. You know, protect your vision. There's a reason the scripture says in Luke 2 somewhere, Luke chapter 2 or 3, that Mary, the mother of Jesus, she says she treasured these things in her heart. You see, some revelations are meant to be held close and not broadcast to the world, you know? So keep your goals to yourself. Write everything down. Speak over it. Believe it. Don't go posting everything before it's even had a chance to take root, okay? Your vision is sacred, so treat it like it is. I'm also going to say this. I'm not going to harp on this too long. Some of you are dealing with something like hater energy in your own home. So let's just call that a thing, and let's be real about that. Some of you guys have spouses and partners and long-term companions who make these little digs to try to tear you down or dissuade you or sow seeds of doubt about your vision, about your dream, because they may be uncomfortable with your growth, or they don't want you to grow too much or be more successful than they are. They don't want to be outshined, or they feel threatened by your ambition, all types of stuff, you know. Or it could be simply that they are insecure about their own faith, level of faith in their dreams and what they want to pursue, and they're projecting their own insecurities onto you. So you have to watch stuff like that. The enemy may be right there in your own home. You may be sleeping with the enemy, you know. I've been there too, and I've been the enemy you sleeping with sometimes. So I'm not trying to make it seem like I haven't been the asshole a lot of times, and we'll talk about that a little later. But yeah, you have to watch things like that, especially during those early stages of changing your life and transforming your life. Okay, remember the early stages are when everything is very vulnerable. So you don't want the wrong voices in your ear. All right. Let's move on. I'm going to share a little story that kind of illustrates what we've been talking about. Around this time last year, God placed something on my spirit, and actually, it wasn't an idea. It was more like an instruction. He kept nudging me to create a YouTube channel that focused strictly on Bible-based content, and at first, I just kind of ignored it, and I brushed it off because I was busy. This was before I retired. I had a lot going on, and I just didn't want to. I mean, I'm very well-versed on the Bible, but, I don't consider myself a Bible teacher, and so I just kind of brushed it off. And posting things on YouTube was a little different for me. I had been more so a consumer of YouTube than a creator, so posting, and teaching Bible scriptures and things like that, that was just a little different for me. It felt different, but it also felt like it was a calling. It just would not leave me alone. But like I said, it wouldn't let up, so eventually I was like, okay, all right, Jehovah, I'm going to post my first video. And I did. I put it out there, and it was very humbling. I think it got 17 views, maybe 30, a couple of likes here or there. And I kept posting every day. I stayed with it. These were just short 1-minute devotionals, just me and my Bible and the Word of God, whatever word he placed on my heart that day. And even when the views were low, and even when I kind of battled that inner saboteur telling me that ain't nobody listening to this, this ain't going nowhere, I just kept going. And when you're chasing a dream or a goal or a vision, consistency is very important. You have to be consistent because you're not going to see the harvest right away. So you have to just water it with faith. But anyway, I kept pressing on with the videos, and they got better and better, and they started to gain traction. And now we're at a year later. That channel now has over 400 videos, almost 500 actually. One of them has already gone viral. I have almost 2,000 subscribers. And I receive messages every single day. And I'm not exaggerating. I receive messages every single day from people all around the world who tell me that, my content has helped them in some type of way to grow spiritually or draw closer to God. And those messages mean a whole lot to me. So imagine if I had given up at like 17 views or 30 views. There's so many people that have been inspired by that content wouldn't have got the breakthrough that they needed or got a word from the Lord that day or whatever, however it manifested in their life. The word is going to hit you at the time when it's supposed to hit you. So something to note about this particular YouTube channel, I didn't really blast this to a lot of people when I first did it. I didn't announce it to family, friends, and things like that. I didn't ask for a bunch of shares and applauses. All I did, I told two people. I told a friend, and I also told my brother-in-law. There's two people who I know would support me and speak life into the vision that I was trying to work towards, and that was it. I quietly built that channel in the background, and that's the same way that you should treat your vision, whatever your vision is. Be sure you protect it and guard it. Don't overshare with a lot of people who aren't equipped to believe in it. Because like I said, in those very early stages, what you're going to need most is support and not skepticism. So if you want to check it out, the channel is called Reality of Truth. You can just put in hashtag Reality of Truth on YouTube, and it'll pull up all the content. And if you make it there, be sure to subscribe. Subscribe and hit the notification bell. Don't just be a voyeur. Go ahead and subscribe. It don't cost nothing. And that way you'll get all of my notifications when I post something new, And I just wanted to share that really quick. And not to brag, I wanted to tell you this just to let you know what's possible when you stay obedient, stay consistent, and just move in silence and let the fruit speak for itself. All right? So where am I going next? I want to say this too, and I know I'm going all over the place, but I'm just, there are a lot of things I want to get out to you today, but I also want to say this. I know some people listening right now might be struggling to see their vision for 2026. I've had that feeling where you feel stuck and where you feel aimless. I've definitely been there. And if you're in that position, this is what I want you to do. If you don't know what you want to do next year, if you don't even know where to start, just think about the areas of your life that hurt. Where does your life hurt? What's holding you back? Is it your health? Is it your weight? Is it just your environment? Maybe it's your marriage or your relationship, your job or lack of a job, your finances. It could be all types of stuff. Where is your life hurting? It might be your attitude, you know? Just pick one thing that you want to improve, one thing that you don't like about yourself, and that's your life and your circumstances. Just pick one thing and then make a commitment to improve in that one area and make that your vision. Because every major transformation is going to start with the decision to stop tolerating what's not serving you. All right? And once you conquer that one area, just move on to the next thing and then the next and the next. And before you know it, you will have completely transformed your life. And none of this stuff is going to happen overnight. It's going to take time. Progress takes time. You know, just start small first, and eventually you'll start to see some gains in your life, and things will start to turn around. So I'm not asking you to change everything. I just ask you to start somewhere, because that's how you're going to build momentum, and that's how you're going to unlock your best year yet. And I'll use myself as an example. The person I am today that you hear on the radio is completely different than who I was just 7 or 8 years ago. Back then, outwardly, yeah, I had a good job. I had a good career, expensive cars, nice house, and all of that. Everything looked good professionally, but in my private life, things were a lot different. I was a bit of a narcissist. You know, I hate to admit that, but I was. Looking back, I was a narcissist. I was a terrible boyfriend, a big cheater. I could be very mean-spirited at times and vengeful. If I felt I was wronged or if I didn't get my way, I could be very controlling and manipulative and just argumentative. I was just a very toxic person behind the scenes. I don't know if you guys have been watching Tyler Perry's new series on Netflix. Is called Beauty in Black. There's a character on that show named Mallory Bellery. Mallory Bellery. It's one of the, her first name is Mallory, and she's married into this wealthy family, one of the wealthy families in Atlanta. They run this enterprise called Beauty in Black. She's the, I would say, the de facto spokesperson for the company. And she has a public persona that's being this, you know, poised, lovely, philanthropic pillar of the community. And she's beloved by the public, right? But what you learn as you watch the series is that behind the scenes, she is like really a monster. I mean, I want to call her another word. I'm not going to say it. But she's like you wouldn't believe. And really, the entire family is really awful. But Mallory is especially nasty and just really a piece of work, completely opposite of her public persona. And I know that's a bit of a exaggerated example, but it's pretty much kind of how it was with me. I had a public persona that I presented at work and with my colleagues, but then there was this other side of me that I hid from a lot of people. I think at my height of my toxicity and narcissistic behavior, probably was around 2018, 2019. I remember my behavior during that time. It was really just really bad. And I'm kind of ashamed at how I acted back then. You know, I was had become very haughty and high-minded, just very entitled and, you know, just not a nice person. But life has a real funny way of humbling you when you get too out of control, when you get too much. And when God wants your attention, he definitely knows how to get it. I remember in 3 years, this was in 2019, in 3 years, just 3 years, I lost everything that defined me. I lost my relationship of 13 years. And along with that, I lost my best friend and my two dogs that I loved. I lost my livelihood. I lost my beautiful condo I had in Puerto Rico. I had to give that up. Later on, I lost my aunt. And not even a month later after I lost my aunt, I lost my mom to COVID. So you want to talk about rock bottom. Life literally brought me to my knees. And it was rough. It was real rough. I won't lie to you. But it was from that place that I was able to start rebuilding. Of course, not overnight. This took years. This took some time. This is when I really started to rediscover who I was, who I really was. You know, I got therapy. I confronted all of that unhealed trauma that had been driving so many of my toxic behaviors. You know, the arrogance and the need to control everything and all the emotional manipulation and defensiveness. And for the first time, I really stopped running from myself. And it was really hard putting in that work. Putting in the work and doing the work on yourself is really difficult. That's why a lot of people just avoid it. But I stayed committed to doing the work, and I stayed committed to improving myself. And before I knew it, I was starting to improve things, because I looked back and noticed that everything that I had built, the success I built and this life that I thought I had, all that stuff was built on sand. It all looked good, but it just wasn't stable. So eventually, it was all going to fall apart anyway. But now I can say today with full confidence that I have a solid foundation. I'm not the same broken, unhealed version of myself that I used to be. I can have healthy relationships now. I can have genuine, healthy friendships. And I can lead from a place of peace and not pride and haughtiness like I was before. I'm sharing this with you because I don't want you to build your vision and your dream on sand like I did. You already know the areas in your life that need attention. You know where your character flaws are. You know where your health issues are that you've been running from. You know what the emotional wounds and all the toxic patterns that keep resurfacing. You know all of that stuff by now. So handle that. Fix it. Yes, it's going to be hard. Yes, you're going to cry and have fits. But get yourself in therapy. Start praying. Start journaling. Whatever it takes to get you in the right headspace so that you can perform. Pursue the life that you really deserve to have, and to pursue your vision fully without being tethered by all this crap and all these vices and bad habits that you have or used to have. Because all it's going to do is just, even if you do attain the stuff that you want, all that's going to happen is that you're going to get dragged back down. You're going to be right back at square one, and you're going to have to rebuild on a foundation that can hold and support everything. Don't do what I did. So again, before you start chasing the vision, make sure that you're building on a solid foundation. Avoid negativity at all costs. And, you know, speaking of negativity, I want to say this, and I think we're going to go ahead and skip the break because I want to get as much in as possible. And thank you for hanging in there with me. If you're working towards something meaningful, you got to stop all this doom scrolling. I used to do it too. Watching the news. I say this all the time. Watching news programs, all they're meant to do is to program you to fear, to have anxiety, to doubt, to cause panic. the news shapes how you see your life and the world around you. And the news has a way of keeping you in a constant state of chaos and danger, confusion. What's going to happen now? Scarcity. It keeps you in a scarcity mindset. Oh, they say ain't no jobs out there. They say the economy, they say if we're in a recession, the stock market is going to go down. Inflation is getting worse. All this stuff. And I know some of you may say, but Dr. Andre, that's reality. You know, that's what's really going on in the world. Shouldn't we, you know, stay informed and know what's happening? Yeah, sure. Be informed. But ask yourself, at what cost to your peace and to your mental clarity do you want to be informed? Do you really need a news anchor to tell you about how high groceries are and how high gas is right now and that rent prices are doubling and going up and layoffs are happening every other day and the government is a mess right now? You don't need a news reporter to tell you that. We live it. We see it. I'm not telling you to be oblivious and put your hand in the head in the sand. I'm just telling you that if you're someone that's looking to actively upgrade your life and to level up and just live a better quality life, you've got to weed out all this chronic negativity and start feeding your mind with good stuff, stuff that builds faith and focus and momentum, not fear and doubt and anxiety and all this stuff that the news try to get you to feel. And I know the news, watching the news is addictive. My ex and I, we used to watch CNN 24/7. This was back when Barack Obama was running for president. We watched it 24/7. And at one point, it just started to make you sick. It's like, we've got to stop watching this shit. It's like a drama that never ends. So I'm going to propose a 7-day detox to you. You don't have to do it, but if you, I want you to try it. I want you to consider trying it. For 7 days, I want you to not ingest any news. No news on TV, radio, on these apps that give you these push alerts on what's, turn that off, silence all your apps, and replace the news. Say you watch the news for 30 minutes a day. Replace that with 30 minutes of walking or meditating or listening to an audio book or some type of motivational message, something like that. Do it for 7 days. And then tell me how you feel at the end of the 7 days and what changed. Seriously, I want to hear from you. My email is livewithdrandrejerry@gmail.com. If your focus sharpens after that 7 days, if your hope rises, if you just feel lighter, then definitely keep going, because that's how you build a mindset that's going to unlock your best year yet. All right. I think I am going to pause right here and take just a quick, maybe 1-2 minute break. And when we come back, I'm going to walk you through just a few practical real-world steps that you can start using today to draw your vision closer and to begin manifesting the life that you truly desire. So thanks for listening to me run my mouth. We'll be back in about 1 to 2 minutes, all right?
Hi, I'm James Baller of Artist First Radio, and I would like to tell you about a fascinating new book from Crime Beat's Ron Chepsik and co-author Mike Rowe. It's titled Robin Hood of the Hood, The Life and Times of Teddy Rowe, Policy Kingpin, and it's published by Strategic Media Books. The book is a historical account of Theodore Teddy Rowe, who courageously fought the Chicago Mafia, more commonly known as the Outfit, for control of the lucrative policy racket in the Windy City. Policy, often called the numbers, is a form of illegal gambling or illegal lottery, played mostly in poor and working-class neighborhoods in the United States. In Policy, a bettor attempts to pick 3 digits to match those that will be randomly drawn the following day. For decades, Policy had been a staple in the black community, but when the white mob flexed its power in the late 1940s, many policy kings knuckled under the pressure. Not Teddy Rowe. Rowe famously told mob bosses that he'd rather die than give up control of his operation. Robin Hood of the Hood chronicles an exciting chapter of Chicago history. Go to the Kindle store at Amazon and buy it for just $2.99. For information about this book and other titles, please go to strategicmediabooks.com. That's strategicmediabooks.com.
Looking for your next car? Amazon Autos has you covered. With just a few clicks, you can shop a wide selection of new vehicles, compare prices, read reviews, and even arrange pickup or delivery, just like ordering anything else on Amazon. It's the future of car buying. Simple, transparent, and all online. Backed by Amazon's trusted network and partnering with local dealerships, Amazon Autos is redefining how we shop for cars. Visit amazon.com/autos and drive into the future today.
Welcome to another broadcast of Spiritual Concerns, the Deborah Ruffini Show on Artist First Radio Network. We're live from England on Saturdays and Sundays, 3 p.m. New York, 8 p.m. London. All past shows are podcasts, find them at artistfirst.com. I'll be your host, where issues relating to the spiritual matters of concern will be largely examined and discussed. Enjoy the show.
You're back live with Dr. Andre Geary.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Live with Dr. Andre Geary. Thanks so much for sticking with me through the break. I know I've been running my mouth, but I think I've been saying some pretty good stuff. But hey, if you're just tuning in, tonight's episode is all about unlocking your best year yet in 2026. So before the break, we talked about the importance of writing down your vision, protecting your peace, and building on a solid foundation. Now, let's quickly get into the how. Let's talk about the daily habits and the mindset shift that's going to help you attract what you've been praying for and trying to manifest. All right. And some of this stuff, if you follow my show, this is going to be sort of a recap, but it bears repeating because this is really important stuff that's going to accelerate the process of getting what you want, okay? Vision boards. Like I said, by now you should have at least a rough idea of what your vision for 2026 looks like, okay? So now with a vision board, you're going to make it visible. There are many ways to go about this. For me personally, I prefer a physical vision board. You know, something I can touch and feel and pin things on and, you know, put little things around and little quotes and things like that. That works for me. You know, there's power in physically interacting with your goal. I said I wasn't going to use that word. Is there power in physically interacting with your vision? But for a lot of people, you may prefer a digital vision board. I have a couple of friends that use those. They basically take the home screen of their laptop and they put all the different things that they want to manifest on their dashboard or desktop, so they see it every day. It doesn't matter. If you got a physical one, digital one, it could be on your phone. It just, as long as you have one and put it somewhere where you can see it every single day, that's the important part, because that visual reminder is going to keep your goals on top of mind. And it's going to signal to your subconscious that this vision is important. This vision matters. So think of your vision board as like a daily contract with your future self and a visual declaration of what's already on its way to you. All right? If you follow the show, you've heard me talk about journals. Okay? Get yourself a few journals. It doesn't matter. Amazon, Walmart, Dollar Tree. Don't overthink it. But what's more important is the habit. You don't have to worry about the price tag. Just get you something to write in and start journaling every night. It doesn't have to be anything deep or poetic. Just write about your day. Write about the things you observed, what you learned, any interesting encounters you had today, things that you're grateful for. Just get in a habit of consistency, you know, and writing every single night. And then before you close that journal, write your top three priorities for tomorrow that you want to do. And make sure that they're related to your vision. It could be things like walk 30 minutes, write 3 pages for my book I'm working on, spend 1 hour of intentional family time. You know, simple, measurable stuff that's doable. All right? Let's talk about bad habits. That's something we all have in common. We all have bad habits. And like I said, we've talked about this in previous episodes, but the more bad habits you can break, the more your life is going to improve. And here's the key, and I mentioned this. The best way to break a habit is to replace it with another one. And I'll go back to my own story that I shared when I was talking about my pornography addiction. Thanks, Chris. Thanks. I'm saying thanks to my ex. I'm not going to blame him. I have to take responsibility. It was my addiction, you know. But, you know, I just didn't stop. I replaced it with something else, which was reading the Bible. Every time I felt the urge to watch porn, I would grab my Bible and just start reading. And I'll be real, sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. You know, it's not magic. You know, there's sometimes I struggle. But what I would always say is, like, I'll be damned if I go and jack to porn before I spend some time with God. I mean, I hate to be crass, but I mean, those are things I had to tell myself. Like, Andre, you're not doing this. Pick up the Word of God. Spend some time with God. Worship and praise. Then if you still feel like watching porn after that, then do it. But I'll be damned if you're going to watch porn before you give glory to God. We're not going to do that now. You know, so these are the types of things you have to kind of go through with yourself. And if you stay in the Word, I'm not going to preach too much at you, but if you stay at the Word and keep praying, eventually those desires that aren't good for you, they'll fade away over time. They will. You know, so if you got something, I don't care if it's smoking, it could be pornography, whatever it is, don't try to focus on stopping that, because all you're doing is just meditating on what you don't want to do. So you end up thinking about it more. Just replace it. That way you're removing the resistance and you're able to say, you know what, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do this. I'm going to take a walk, or I'm going to meditate for 10 minutes or something like that. You know, don't try to go cold turkey. I've done that. It just doesn't work. All right. Protect your mornings. Now, this is one of the hardest disciplines. I'm still working on this one. I'll give you full disclosure. I'm still working on this one, but you have to protect your mornings. For the first 30 minutes after you wake up, don't touch your phone. Don't check social media. Don't check your text messages. Don't check your emails. Don't even touch your phone. That time belongs to you and God, or however you want to do it. But give yourself that time, 30 minutes. And if 30 minutes is too much, the first 5 minutes, and then increase it to 10 and 15 and work your way up to 30. But don't start grabbing your phone as soon as you wake up. I did that this morning, and every morning I do that, I regret it. It's just like, this is not how I want to start my day. I haven't even put my feet on the ground yet and got on my knees and praised Jehovah for another day. Come on. So I'm going to have to come up with something. I know a lot of us use our phones as alarms and all that type of stuff, and you know, you may have some extenuating circumstances where you have to be on call or whatnot, but as much as you can, try just to give your phone a break first thing in the morning. And, you know, because the first voice that you hear, that first energy that you absorb into the morning, that's what's going to set your day, you know. I got kind of in a bad mood this morning because the first thing I see is a text message, somebody asking me, had I done X, Y, and Z yet? I'm like, you leave me the hell alone. This is why I'm going to stop checking my phone early in the morning. I'm going to stop starting tomorrow. So what I'm preaching to you is stuff that I'm implementing myself. Some of this stuff I've conquered. Some of this stuff I'm still working on. So I'm going to be working on that one along with you, okay? 30 minutes, no phone in the morning, all right? The next thing, visualization. Now, this one is really important, but it can be tricky for some people. Some people, visualization is hard. Some people, it's easy. It just depends. But it's one of the most powerful tools that you can use to turn your vision into reality. So all visualization is using your imagination. We all did it as a child. I don't know if these new children are doing it because they got phones before they can even walk. So I don't know how much of their imagination they're using. But that's all visualization is. It's the practice of seeing yourself already living the life that you want to live. Years and years ago, I used to fantasize and daydream about meditating on the beach, spending my time reading books on the beach, writing books on the beach. Those are all things that I do now, you know. But years and years ago, I used to just visualize. It was just a thought, you know. So just start spending a few quiet minutes every day just looking at your vision board. Use your vision board if it's hard for you to get those images in your mind. And a lot of times what I do is I sit in front of my own vision board and I look at the things I have pinned on there. I have little mock checks for $1 million and, you know, pictures of places where I want to travel and things like that. And what I do is I just start meditating on it and visualizing. I start thanking God as if it's already done. You know, I'll say stuff like, thank you, Heavenly Father, for blessing me to achieve every single thing on this vision board. I always knew it would happen one day in your timing. Thank you for allowing me to experience what this feels like. You know, I just kind of get in the zone with it. But once you get the hang of it, you'll start to see it really helps draw your vision to you very fast. So definitely try to put that into practice as soon as you can. All right? This is the last one I'm going to mention before we get off the line today. Clap for others. That's one of the most important lessons I've learned on this journey. You're never going to experience the success that you dream of until you learn how to clap for other people. When you're grinding towards your own vision, there's going to be times and seasons where things are not going to be happening. It's not going to look right. Stuff is not going to look favorable. You know, you're going to be putting in the work. You're going to be staying faithful. But the fruits are not going to be showing up yet. But in that same time, you're going to see other people, maybe on TV, maybe online, maybe right even in your friend circle. They're going to be crushing it. They're going to be in their winning season. They're going to be doing the same things that you're trying to do. And they're going to be getting all this recognition and accolades and resources and all the results that you've been praying for. And if you're not careful, you can end up being resentful toward them and being envious. But don't let that happen to you. Just let that be confirmation that if they can do it, they look just like me. They're from where I'm from. If they can do it, I can do it. You know? That's proof that you can also do this thing too. So learn to clap for others. Celebrate people genuinely. Like that person's post. Hit that subscribe button. I don't know why people act like hitting subscribe costs them something. Just hit the damn subscribe button. Leave a comment. I leave comments all the time on people I don't even know. I just say things like, I'm proud of you. Congratulations. You know, when I see that they're proud about something. Someone posted that they finally hit 1 million subscribers. I'm like, awesome, that's going to be me one day. Congratulations, very proud of you. It don't cost anything. You know, so put good things like that out there into the world. You know, celebrate others because, you know, you're sowing seeds of kindness. Eventually that stuff is going to come back to you. You know, and I know we're running past time here, but you know, I get some of the most uplifting messages from people I don't even know, strangers. Just the other day, somebody commented on my YouTube page, and they said something to the effect of, thank you for being consistent. They used the word consistent. Thank you for being consistent and posting these devotionals every day. This channel has really helped me and my family draw closer to God. And messages like that mean a lot to me. Because it reminds me that purpose isn't all about, you know, money and things like that. The money's going to come. You chase your passion and your purpose, the money's going to come. But it's something about realizing that you're having an impact and that you're positively impacting other people's lives. And like I said, just a kind word from a stranger can give somebody the strength that they need to keep going, to keep pressing forward. So don't withhold anything good when it's in your power to give it. That's in Proverbs somewhere. Those compliments, those little words of encouragement, a simple act of kindness, all that could literally save someone's life because you never know what other people are carrying. Never know. So clap for others, celebrate for others, keep sowing those good seeds because in due season, that stuff is going to come back to you and you're going to reap it. All right? Listen, guys, thank you so much for tuning in to tonight's show. I'm glad that you are listening in, whether it's live or on the podcast. I truly hope I said something tonight that sparked something in you and maybe gave you a little extra clarity, some more encouragement, or just reminded you that no matter where you are in life, you can always rebuild and refocus and realign with your vision. Remember, consistency and faith, they both go hand in hand. So keep showing up for yourself and keep doing the work. One day, one choice, one prayer at a time, everything you desire is always waiting for you. It's already waiting. on the other side. You just have to stay disciplined and keep your belief going. All right? So be sure to join us for our next show. We're going to welcome back to the show Dr. Stephen Bond, who's been on the show before. He's going to discuss his latest projects and his latest book release. So that show is going to air on Wednesday, December 10th at 6 p.m. Eastern exclusively on the Artist First Radio Network. Until then, keep dreaming, keep believing, and keep unlocking your best life. Good night, everybody.